The podcast has been on hiatus this week while I have dealt with a constellation of different health issues. The bottom line is I recently received a diagnosis of alpha-gal, which has been in the news a lot lately. It is a tick-borne allergy, not an illness, but an allergy to the alpha-gal carbohydrate molecule that's present in all mammals. The top line that the news likes to sensationalize is that it makes you allergic to red meat like burgers and bacon. But the truth is, alpha-gal causes a lot more than that, and I've been dealing with a lot of those other symptoms. A lot of people have said to me, well, what good are ticks anyway? And well, it's Disability Pride Month, and I feel like that there might be some parallels between the way that our society treats ticks and the way that our society treats disabled people. So throw in a heaping of vegan popcorn, and let's dive in and see what this is all about. You're listening to Feather Mane Soul Wisdom, a podcast for those looking to rediscover their wild spirit in spite of life's challenges. If you're living with a chronic illness or neurodivergent or consider yourself disabled, and you're looking to connect with your own inner untamed essence, then this show is for you. Your host is Kit Kailstow, Wild Spirit Storyteller. Thanks for listening, and now on to the episode. Hi, and welcome back to the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Show. I'm Kit Kailstow, and this week we're talking about alpha-gal specifically, although I admit that since my diagnosis, I've had a lot of thoughts about eating and food, different ways of eating in general, eating more compassionately and how we can move in that direction, as well as we're going to be talking about ticks and what their role is in the ecosystem. And yes, they do have a purpose, but we're going to be tying this into Disability Pride Month. And lest you think I've gone too far afield of my original message, the truth is that all of this ties into wild spirit storytelling and grief work, because not only is there a lot of grief when you get diagnosed with a food allergy or any chronic illness, honestly, there's also a lot of how do we connect to the wild? If the wild is something that can make us sick, how do we deal with that? So it is all connected. And this is the type of stuff that I really like to think about and really like to dive into. And so trust me when I say that there's probably going to be many more podcasts slicing into that bit by bit. But again, today we're going to talk basically about alpha-gal. We're going to talk about ticks, and we're going to talk about Disability Pride Month. Let me start by discussing what alpha-gal is. Alpha-gal is designated a mammalian meat allergy. It is a tick-induced allergy to a molecule, which happens to be a carbohydrate, called galactose A1,3-galactose. It's a sugar, and it's commonly known as alpha-gal. This sugar is found in all mammals except for humans and some primates. And it's just part of the family of sugars that feed our cells and make our body work. Products made from mammals can also contain alpha-gal. And they include meat, so beef, pork, lamb. That would be burgers, bacon, pork chops, lamb chops. Milk and dairy products, cheese, ice cream, but also products you might not think about like gelatin, medications, either with a mammal-derived ingredient as like one of their inactive ingredients or active ingredients, or like the gelatin capsules. Some of your other medicines come in capsules. Those are often made from gelatin. And medical products like heparin and vaccines, and even personal care products like lotion, makeup, deodorant, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, toilet paper, many other items. There is an amazing amount of products due in large part to our very industrial food and consumer-driven product system that we have. And no, this isn't a rant against ultra-processed food or whatever the biggest fad is right now. It's just a fact of life. We are very efficient at using most parts of an animal that gets butchered for food. In fact, bone char, so charred animal bones, is used in sugar production. It is also part of charcoal. So something that I've been thinking about is like my incense use. All of these products contain this molecule. And if you have alpha-gal, you are allergic to this molecule. And what's going to happen is you're going to have reactions. And reactions can range from really, really bad, like sudden anaphylactic shock, which is where like you can't breathe, you suffocate to death, very bad, no good, nobody wants. Reactions might be itching or hives. That's part of that allergic reaction. They also could be gastrointestinal. So, and it's a delayed reaction. So it's not like food poisoning where if you eat something that's bad, like within a half an hour, you know it and you can trace it right back to what you have eaten. In this case, reactions can take 3 hours, 8 hours, sometimes even longer after what you've eaten, or people can be fume reactive. So if you go to, say, like McDonald's where they're cooking hamburgers, just having that in the air can be enough to trigger your allergy. But about 3 to 8 hours after you eat, your stomach hurts really bad. You might get all the usual GI symptoms, gas, cramps, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, bloating, all of the no fun stuff. And because it happens so delayed, especially if you don't realize you got bit by a tick, it can take a long time to figure out a diagnosis because it's not something that leaps to providers' minds. Even in a place where I'm at, which is in the Missouri Ozarks, where alpha-gal is very prevalent, it's very much on everybody's mind. Even down here, like one of my biggest frustrations for the past couple of weeks is that my doctor is not literate about it. And what my doctor told me is very much not true. And so they basically measure your allergy to this molecule. Anything over a certain threshold is considered a positive. And one of the interesting facts about this allergy is that it's kind of like that game show, Whose Line Is It Anyway?, where the points are made up and don't matter. Whatever you score that's a positive, you can have a really high number and very low reactions. For example, you could tolerate dairy and some of the other products and just not meat. You can have a very low positive number and be extremely reactive. So there's not a real correlation there. There may be a chance that you can go into remission, especially if you avoid further tick bites. There's also a chance that it could get worse if you have further tick bites. And again, because all of these reactions are delayed, it's really hard to know, like, okay, I got bit by a tick. It's now a week later. My symptoms are super worse. This can take several months to manifest in your system. So it's a very difficult food allergy to deal with, in large part because there's so much misinformation about it. And there is a certain sector of our information ecosystem that, and I suspect it has to do with the regions of the country where alpha-gal is more prevalent, have really kind of glommed on to some really wild ideas about what this is and what can cure it. There is no cure. What it means to live with it. And so it's really hard to find good, solid information. In my case, I belong to some groups of people who have the illness. And it's a lot of trial and error even then, because again, our reactions vary so differently. Now that you know what alpha-gal is, the question that always comes up is, well, what purpose do ticks serve anyway? And I understand. I mean, ticks are primarily known as pests and bloodsuckers. They're known as parasites. In fact, their actual niche is called, and I hope I get this right, that they are endoparasites. I'm going to pause the recording here and look this up just one moment. Nope, I got that wrong, and I thought I did. Ticks are obligate blood-sucking ectoparasites, in other words, on the outside of the body. And you think, well, you know, golly, they suck your blood. What purpose do they have? Well, in, you know, much the same as the food web and the chain, they do provide food for other animals. Again, there's a lot of misinformation out there, but a lot of animals will feed on ticks, either ticks that land on them or ticks that they find in the environment. And there are, you know, guinea fowl, for example, apparently eat ticks. I've kept guinea fowl. It is way more trouble, as far as I'm concerned, than it's worth, because guinea fowl are not as smart as chickens. That's another show, probably. But, you know, guinea fowl eat them. Free-ranging chickens eat them. Reptiles, birds. I've heard it said that opossums eat them. I've also heard that basically they will eat any that land on them, but they don't go seeking them out, which would make sense because it's not a big food source for an opossum. But you know what they do is they do serve as food for other animals. They do take part in providing some diversity of life on our planet because they do carry various microorganisms and bacteria. And whether we agree with the microorganisms and bacteria that those ticks carry, that's kind of irrelevant because we don't get to decide their purpose because of what they do for us. That's pretty selfish. And that kind of is going to get into the third part of the show. So they do provide some diversity of life. They have obviously evolved to fill certain niches. And in some ways, they do also help to keep animal populations in check. So too many ticks on an animal, especially an older animal, a weak animal, a sick animal, can be its cause of death. So it is one way to kind of keep balance in the ecosystem. And again, regardless of whether we think that's a good way to keep balance in the ecosystem or not, certainly it is a way to do so with the help of this creature. So ticks do have a purpose. And I think it's important when we're thinking about the environment, when we're thinking about our connection with the wild and our connection with nature, it's very important to decenter ourselves. And if we decenter ourselves from the conversation with nature, the entire nature of that conversation changes. If we decenter ourselves, we're no longer talking about what serves humanity, what is in humanity's best interests, but rather what is in the best interest of the planet. Now, I am not knowledgeable enough about ticks to make a strong argument for why ticks are in the best interest of the planet, because they are not something that humans have put here, but because they have evolved along with the rest of life and they've evolved to fill certain niches. Again, I have to trust that nature in this sense knows more than I do. Obviously, it has a much broader picture than I do. And it's one of those things where we don't know what would happen if we took these creatures out of the ecosystem completely. So decentering ourselves when we're talking about the environment means that we have to understand, first of all, that each and every animal and creature in this environment has a purpose. Even if we don't agree with that purpose, even if we don't like that purpose, even if that purpose is harmful to us. It's a living with mindset rather than a dominion over mindset. The second thing is we have to understand that we don't know what we don't know. And I think that's the hardest thing for humans to understand, is that we don't know what will happen or what questions need to ask to know what we don't know. And so if we can live with that ambiguity that, hey, even if it's not an intelligent design type model, if it's more of an evolutionary model, trial and error, more scientific model, we have to understand that something happened. These creatures have evolved. They've evolved to fill a niche for a reason. And we just have to trust that that reason exists. And that's why phrases like, well, I don't know why ticks exist anyway, You know, that's why those phrases are harmful, because as it's Disability Pride Month, those phrases can be extended to other individuals who may be seen as not having a functional role as seen by the person making that statement. So what does all this have to do with Disability Pride Month? Well, first of all, it's really opened my eyes. And I say this as somebody who thought I was pretty well versed in disability theory and in systemic ableism. I worked on a thesis regarding disability liberation. I have been disabled under multiple models, which I've talked about in other shows for many years now. And I am all about accommodations, nothing about us without us. The fact that the Americans with Disabilities Act needs to be strengthened quite a bit. It needs some teeth, to be very honest with you. And I'm looking at getting maybe a service animal. And even with all of this in mind, because I had not dealt with a food allergy, I am ashamed to say that I did not realize just how badly the American food system fails people with food allergies. So with alpha-gal, again, we're allergic to anything derived from mammals. If you look on a package of food, and I'm just going to say the English muffins, the light multigrain English muffins I've got sitting on my counter. I like to make breakfast sandwiches out of them. So there's an app that tells you what allergens are in food. I scan my muffins and they are like flashing red danger. And I'm like, what the heck, man? It's an English muffin. What is wrong with this? Well, there is a whole bunch of enrichment in the flour. So those enriched vitamins and minerals in the flour actually could be animal derived. There are natural flavors that show up, and because those natural flavors don't have to be disclosed, they might be animal derived. And so a great example is chicken. So chicken is something that is safe for alpha-gal individuals to eat because poultry does not contain that molecule. However, a lot of chicken providers will tell you, or not tell you as the case may be, that they may use mammal-derived products, juices, flavorings, to inject into the chicken to so-called make it better. That may be great for everybody else. That's very dangerous for people with alpha-gal. Now, I am fortunate in that I have mostly GI symptoms, and they're mostly manageable. I mean, hell, I've dealt with an angry GI tract for decades. So, although now I'm wondering just how long I've had this and not known. But the truth is, it's pretty safe for me to eat like those English muffins. In fact, I'll probably have one when I'm done recording this podcast so I can eat some lunch. But it also means that if you have an allergy to mammal-derived products, it's going to really limit what you can and can't eat. And if we start thinking about food deserts, which I live in one, if you start thinking about rural populations without access to a lot of natural or organic foods, although Walmart's getting better, you know, when you start to think about that sort of thing, there really is an accessibility, a disability issue going on with our food supply. And again, I was aware of this to some extent as somebody who was trying to eat more plant-based, but I really wasn't aware of the extent of it until I got alpha-gal. And, you know, boy, I feel really ashamed now because there's a lot of advocacy that needs to be done in this area. The other area I really find with alpha-gal and disability is that a lot of people don't take it seriously. Again, because it's billed as a meat allergy, they think that if you just avoid hamburgers and bacon and pork chops and anything that's obviously, you know, from a mammal, although as I've seen in my alpha-gal group, some people don't even know what mammals are, They think that if you just avoid it, it'll be fine, but you can be around it. There's not a cross-contamination issue. There's not a fume reaction issue. That basically, just don't eat meat and you'll be okay. And it is so much more than that. It's so much broader than that. And in fact, I was looking at the CDC's recent paperwork on it. They've got some teaching handouts. And while they're pretty decent, they also kind of reinforce that stereotype. And that's dangerous. Just like the idea where if your numbers are low or your numbers are high, that details the severity of your reaction. That's dangerous. So there's a lot of advocacy to be done in, I think, broadening our vision of disability this Disability Pride Month and thinking about ways that you might not consider yourself disabled if you have this allergy. I know, for example, I don't consider myself disabled because I have alpha-gal. I consider myself disabled because I have other medical conditions. But the alpha-gal just kind of compounds all of that and compounds the problem. But we need to think about inclusion and the way society either enables or disables people within society and step away a little bit from the label of disability liberation is only for people who think that they're disabled. Because a lot of people have medical conditions but choose not to think of themselves as disabled for a lot of different reasons, whether because they feel like they're doing okay, whether because of internalized ableism. There's a lot that happens. And so we really need to get away from a rigid idea of what is and isn't disability or disabled, because much like everybody's alpha-gal reactions can be different, everybody's vision of access and equity and ability within society to, for example, go into a grocery store without being overwhelmed by fumes from the deli department, or eat at a restaurant without worrying that the server is going to laugh at your allergies and they're going to try something different, which is a story I heard recently that just horrified me. And I also think it also invites us to think about our definition of usefulness. A lot of society believes that you are only disabled if you can't work. And if you can't work, then you are a taker. You are a parasite. You are not useful to society. Now, I want to stop and say that that's bullshit, that every human being has worth. Every human being has value. Every human being deserves food, shelter, clothing, housing, medical care, community care, mutual aid, support, and none of that has any bearing on whether a person can work or not. Whether, you know, a person's productivity does not define their worth. Full stop, end of sentence, no asterisks. So when we think about, you know, well, what purpose does a tick solve, you know, have in our environment? Well, then the question becomes, some people wonder, well, you know, what purpose does it serve to support a disabled person? And you can appeal to them by talking about how a lot of people, if not almost everybody, will become disabled at one point in their life or another, whether through age, whether through an accident, whether through an illness. But the truth is, we should not have to do that. We should have enough compassion and support for one another to want to support one another, to want to make sure that one another has everything that we need to survive. And to be honest, when you look at the amount of money that gets tossed around by billionaires, by rich people, even by people who are moderately well off, when you look at that kind of money, you think that could do a lot of good. Now, I'm not saying that people should forego their enjoyment or forego things they like, but if you can afford to drop $500, $1,000 on something you collect or on some special trinket, then the question becomes, what are you donating to your community? How are you supporting mutual aid posts? Are you giving not even that same amount, but even a tenth of that amount just supporting your community. And if not, why not? When we start to think about, when we start to decouple worth from productivity, we start to decenter that capitalist human mindset. And that's just like decentering the human mindset from thinking about the wild or thinking about the nature. When we start to decenter basically common culture and start to think of it more as, you know, interconnected ecosystems, whether that's the ecosystems of our environment, whether that's the ecosystems of our body, whether that's the ecosystems of our community, when we start to really think about that and realize that we're all in this together, then it does seem really selfish to not support disability pride, not support disability access, disability equality, not support disabled people. And so that's kind of where I want to leave this episode. Like I said, I've got a lot of thoughts tumbling around my mind about Alpha Gal, about our environment, about how we treat certain, you know, creatures in our environment, how we treat ourselves, and eating more compassionately. And as somebody with a degree in ag, kind of how that ties into our current food production system. Lots of stuff out there. All of it ties into grief work. And all of it ties into wild spirit storytelling. If you would like to know more about how to work with wild spirit storytelling in your life, if you would like to do some grief work around disability or food allergies or your neurotype, I would love to speak with you. I would love to support you in this. Please visit feathermanesoul.com. You can reach out to me through the contact form. If chatting works better for you and is more accessible, you can book a call with me. And, you know, if you're listening to my voice, a like, a share, a subscribe goes a really long way. And if you really want to support the work that I do, you can visit feathermanesoul.com and support. And there are different ways to donate or just sign up for our newsletter and make sure you get this information in your inbox every week. Thank you so much, and I look forward to chatting with you next week. You've been listening to the Feather Mane Soul Wisdom Podcast, hosted by Kit Kelstow. Learn more about Feather Mane Soul at feathermanesoul.com. As a wild spirit storyteller, Kit is passionate about helping those who are neurodivergent, disabled, or living with chronic illness rediscover their own inner wild spirit. Visit feathermanesoul.com to receive free gifts or book a free call with Kit to discuss how wild spirit storytelling can help you. Music is Running with the Horses by Purple Planet Music. This podcast is hosted on the Muse Charmer Media Network. Find out more by visiting feathermanesoul.com/show and following the links to the Muse Charmer Network. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow wherever you're hearing my voice, or tell a friend who may be interested. Thank you.